Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
He had a few lagers there.
Good for him.
Excited. He was excited about the Pelicans still, even though I think they lost.
They're done for the
year. It was great for the city of New Orleans. And I think the coolest thing about yesterday, though, is the Nationals did a whiteout on the team flight to Miami. Bob Carpenter and FP in Miami clubbing gear on the
that
flight.
That picture Look this is up. Amazing.
It looks like they are extras in a Backstreet Boys I Want It That Way music
is
video.
Is that right?
Standing in front of the
looks
plane.
Looks amazing. Okay.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. Welcome to Chatter. If you're here for breakfast, we thank you very much for coming in. Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Street Northwest in the Friendship Heights section of D.C. Gene McManus is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Bill Isaacson is here. Ann Hornaday is going to be here. Nigel's going to run the board and do news. I want to talk about Memorial Day weekend. We're not here. This is our last Friday of the current season.
Yes.
We're not going to be doing Fridays. At the end of June, when we take the traditional break in July and August, we're going to try and do nighttime podcasts, 6:37, something like that, and see if that works. And we'll still do an occasional morning broadcast, more likely on Mondays than any other time. But we're heading into that period of time where we don't do them every single day because I'm old and I'm tired. On Memorial Day right here at Chatter, in the Memorial Day weekend, we have tomorrow is Oyster Day. Tomorrow, all-day oyster specials, crispy oysters,
nice.
Oyster poor boys, oyster shooters, oyster stew, raw oysters. On Sunday, in honor of the Indianapolis 500, a lot of things cost 500 cents. We got babies in the audience screaming, which is always good.
Not Bootsy.
Reminds me that Bootsy is now in his 12th month.
Wow.
That's right? Hard to believe.
He's going to be a year old
in
1 month. It's a contract year for Bootsy.
He might stop by the end of the show.
That would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
So we've got beer and fried chicken sandwiches and milk and cookies, all $5. And on Monday, because we're not here Monday, a weekend brunch on Monday. And the specials all weekend long from Saturday to Monday. The Patriot special for $9, two hot dogs and a beer. And 20% of all of those sales will be donated to Pets for Vets. And if they're complimentary. If you have a military ID.
Can I point out, Tony, thank you.
Yes.
Scheduling public service regarding that schedule, because there was a lot of activity on the Twitter last night.
We got people the Caps game Monday night. We got the Caps game.
Right here.
The Jingle Fest situation thing coming up, so a lot of littles were wondering about that Friday show because people are coming into town.
No,
we're hoping to see a Friday show. There will not be
no.
a show, just so people know, Friday the 22nd, so get here Thursday
that's fine.
The 21st.
I'll be here on Thursday.
Although I think we're going to do Jingle Fest a special KJ, Kirsten Onstad, and Jason Fuse will do
great.
A podcast from here.
Well, that'll be great.
Oh, good, that'll be great Friday.
Yes, yeah.
So we have the Caps game on Monday. I have Caps news later in this thing. Let me just go through a couple. Marcia Potts. My great thanks. She sends all the stuff that we
the mushroom
can't
kid.
Use.
So we're done with the Chatter specials now.
We're done with the Chatter special.
For
Marcia
this segment.
Bross, B-R-O-U-S.
We'll come back at it.
The director of media and community relations for Publix. Because I like Publix a lot in Florida.
Yes, you do.
And other places.
And South Carolina.
And South Carolina.
Great
sent
bakery.
Us a whole bunch of stuff. We're very P-U-B-L-I-X. Publix. I got from Jeremy Robbins, not Jerome Robbins, but Jeremy Robbins in Denver. A wish to address Jeff Marks' birthday, which was 2 days ago. Happy birthday to Jeff Marks.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
And a card from Eric Neumeier from Redondo Beach, California, which says, I heard you were sick and you've been complaining a lot. And inside it says, sounds like you're almost back to normal, which is good. So last night, I'm very tired today because...
A little ornery.
There are some movies that I cannot not... I have to watch them. Michael Clayton is my number one movie for that. And oddly enough... Someone who I don't consider a great actor, but I have problems with him off screen, but who I like a lot in a certain kind of role.
Pauly Shore, right?
Not Pauly Shore. No. Take another guess. Take a guess.
Paul Giamatti.
No.
I know.
Tell
so I
people.
Can't say.
You can tell.
Robert Redford.
No.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise.
I love Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies, but right. I love him more in the movies that are overt attempts at humor. Tom Cruise pulls this off really well. Two movies in particular. One is the movie with Emily Blunt
That
edge
is like
tomorrow.
The
edge of tomorrow.
Yeah, that was good.
I cannot stop watching that movie.
That's great.
One I landed on last night, Night and Day with Cameron Diaz. I cannot stop watching this movie. I just think that Tom Cruise in these sorts of movies is tremendously winning. And so I watched till after 10, and I'm cranky today. Wow.
You know,
I'm
silly cranky. Me. Really silly me, knowing that I was going to be on the show today, I watched an NBA game.
Well,
me
too. I watched some of that. I watched a lot of that. I didn't get to the end. I concede I didn't get to the end. And I know we're going to let's talk about this. Houston plays lousy and beats Golden State. Houston, James Harden gets no three-point baskets. Goes 0 for 11. He's the MVP. He goes 0 for 11. Chris Paul makes impossibly great shots in the second half. But Chris Paul and James Harden go 11 for 40. They're not going to do that again, ever.
That's what they did at one end, but at the other end, they play defense. Yeah. You know, the Warriors in the 90s, and you're going to win, as they have the last two games.
This is Chris Paul in the second halves of these games has been great. And I said this the other day about Alexander Ovechkin. This is Chris Paul's time to rewrite that narrative that he can't do anything in the playoffs, and if you get to the finals, you will do that.
Except there's this little hamstring problem.
He's hurt, but they don't need to win six. Right, they're up 3-2.
Yeah.
They don't
right.
need to win six. Golden State, they are tantalizingly close against Houston, but they actually don't win the games. And at the end, the last game at the end, Kevin Durant brings the ball up and for reasons unknown, throws the ball into the corner to Klay Thompson, who gets no real shot whatsoever.
Right.
In this game, Steph Curry gives the ball up to Draymond Green, who falls down.
Yeah.
He loses the ball.
Took his eyes off it. Yeah.
He falls down, and he ends up like Mike Tyson looking for his mouthpiece.
Yes.
And they don't get a shot.
Right. Right.
And they're within tying, or they're down
that
two.
Was two.
They're
yeah,
down two, just like in the other game. And Kevin Durant now, and I think he's unstoppable, and he had 29 points. Kevin Durant had no points in the fourth quarter. He had no points. He had no assists for the game. Kevin Durant last year was the best player in the playoffs and rightfully won the MVP award. If you get to this point where a team stinks and Houston stunk on offense and you can't beat them because they're guarding you and you stink on offense, I don't know how you're supposed to win. And let me give credit to Wilbon, because although he changed his mind 30 times, Michael Wilbon at the beginning of the season and through halfway of this regular season said neither Golden State nor Cleveland will get back to the finals. And I laughed at him. I said, you're an idiot. And I said, they'll both get back to the finals. Well, maybe not Cleveland, but Golden State certainly will get back to the finals because they can turn it on whenever they want. Now, he has changed on that. Two days ago, he said Cleveland would run the table on Boston. Okay, now he's got to find a way to back away from that stupidity. And
well,
we've all done that. He's talked about Golden State. He felt after game one that Golden State would eventually win this series. So he has contradicted himself. But he was out there early. And because I remember what I say. Yeah. And I remember
that,
what he says.
That would have sounded crazy to me months
you know,
ago.
And he said this repeatedly on the air. And he may very well be right. The Cavaliers, both teams, both the Cavaliers and Golden State need to go home and win game six to force a game seven.
I think most people would assume they will do.
I think both will do that. And I give Golden State a far better chance in a game seven than I give Cleveland, because even though it's LeBron James and I picked him to win, I'll stay with it. They don't have an answer in Boston, not because of LeBron James, but because of these other people who, in the case of J.R. Smith or Tristan Thompson, are terrible.
Yeah.
Or in the case of Kyle Korver, the coach, Tyronn Lue, who's being outcoached from this locale to Hilo, doesn't put Kyle Korver in the game. His best shooter doesn't put him in the game. Tyronn Lue doesn't know what he's doing, but he depends on LeBron James. Do we all think it both go seven?
Yeah, for sure. And I really want to know what's going to happen to Chris Paul. I mean, I think that
well, I would say
key.
I wouldn't hurt him.
That didn't look good.
In game six,
that was,
I wouldn't put him in a position where he could get physically hurt.
And he's had hamstring issues earlier this year, and there was like a There was just sort of a look on his face that was just like, oh man.
And
like
he just reached back and grabbed that.
Yeah, and it was at the most critical point in the game. He didn't even attempt to get back.
Right.
He
just. So if you're Mike D'Antoni, do you play him? I don't.
No.
I would not play him.
I'll wait for game seven. I'll take my chances on game seven. Because I don't think they're going to win game six. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I mean, I don't think, if you're Mike D'Antoni, I don't think you forfeit the game, but I think that's ostensibly what you're doing if you sit Chris Paul. I mean, you're acknowledging that's
not
going to happen.
Aren't you surprised at Golden State's ineptitude?
Durant, yes, in particular, yeah, last night. Durant, yeah. And Gene, I know you saw it. Tony, what? You were watching night and day.
I was. It's very good.
Thank you,
Durant,
Gary.
At the end, to me, looked like a guy who was trying too hard. I mean, he could not make anything. And not to take anything away from Houston, they're the number one seed. They had the best record.
But you have to beat them when they're not scoring.
But they didn't. Yeah, they didn't do it by playing games in the 90s. I mean, that game was so aberrational. The over under as set by Vegas in that game, and we know how sharp Vegas is, was 220 points. They combined for 192. I mean, that's
a second in a row.
Yeah,
where they're both under 100. Golden State needs to score.
Yes, Golden State looked terrible, but in the first half, Houston was horrible. Houston should have been up by 12 or 20 points.
Wilbon said it was a great basketball game. Tim Legler said it was exciting, but a bad basketball game. What did you think?
Charles Barkley said the first half was the worst basketball game he'd ever seen in his life, and I'm inclined to agree with him. I mean, Harden couldn't hit a barn.
Yeah.
And Houston should have been up by much more. But the second half, and I would say the fourth quarter, were great.
I should have gone because night and day, the end isn't that good. It's the first hour.
Yeah, the end is really good.
There's something about styles. You watch a Cleveland Boston game in the 90s, or even in the 80s,
it's okay,
which happens occasionally.
It's
okay. and it's like because
they're not running, jump, and shoot teams.
Trying to keep it down. This one, you feel like it's more failing offense than great defense.
All right. So one other bit of news having to do with the Capitals. Yesterday, I found out the name of the PR man for the Washington Capitals, Sergei Kocharov, and I called him, and I said,
"What'd you call him?"
Sergei.
Oh, okay.
And I was expecting, we're not going to help you at all because you've called us choking dogs for 20 years.
Right.
And I had an answer. The answer was going to be, you were choking dogs for 20 years, and
but
now
no
that
loss.
Era has ended.
It's
and
a
now
big
you're, tent. You're in the Stanley Cup.
Tell me he brought you in with open arms.
What I said to him was, I'm going to ask you for a favor, but it's not the hard one. It's not the tickets. I don't want the tickets. It's okay. You can keep the tickets. You can give them to anybody you want. I want a flag. I want a Capitals flag that we can hang out in front of Chatter. I explained what Chatter was. I explained who owned Chatter. I said where it was and all this. And
tell him the specials?
I didn't tell him the specials. I didn't thank Marsha Potts to him. Yeah, but that's
two hot dogs.
Specials. Yeah, the Patriots Day special. I didn't do that. But he said, we'll get you the flag.
How about that?
So we should have a flag for Monday night.
So you'll be rocking the red here at Chatter.
We'll be rocking
the red.
You are
a rock
flag.
The redder now.
I am a rock the redder right now. And then and I just thanked him. And I didn't go through everything I had to go through, which I'm going to go through here, which is that the league, the NHL, does not want Vegas to win. They want Washington to win.
Oh, interesting.
They want Ovechkin to win.
Oh, sure.
They don't want their league devalued by a first-year expansion team beating everybody in the league, because that just calls into question how they set the whole thing up. And people are going to be, the conspiracists are going to be out there. So they want Washington is a veteran team at this point, a multi-year playoff team.
They like Leonsis.
They do. Yeah. They do. Uh-huh. They do. And they like Alexander Ovechkin winning one is
no
good.
No one would argue.
Is good.
No one would argue.
He's
they're
a four-time MVP.
Yeah. No one would argue the Caps are
but
not.
But would you argue with me? Would you say that the league know that the better story is Vegas? Because
no.
I don't think it is.
Well,
no.
I think you could argue the better story is Vegas. But I don't think the league. Well, I think outside of the league, Vegas is a cool story.
Yeah,
I think
casual
for fans,
that's
like my kids
story.
Think Vegas is the coolest thing in the world.
Right.
Yeah, I think as a Caps fan, I wouldn't love that story. But, that was a weirdly constructed thing with the amount of guys you could protect versus not protect. And to their credit, I mean, part of it was the construction of the thing, but part of it was Vegas's approach to it. I mean, they took old guys making lots of money who were unprotected, who some guys would have said, we're not
they
doing that.
They got in the
we're
goal, gonna... a guy who has beaten the Capitals before.
Yeah. Mark, that's the last demon to exercise.
Yeah, and this is the year that they're going to do that. I mean, it is. Sands is right. It's their year, although you text about...
That was for you. That was for you. So the... I wanted to give you credit after listening to yesterday's show because you were never bigger than getting up there and saying, you know what, these guys were choking dogs for years, and that was because... And that was true, and I said it loudly and frequently, and now they are that
they're
is
not,
over.
That's over.
You are the one who has the right to bury that era.
I don't personally... I'm not invested in the Stanley Cup Finals for them in the sense that I don't care if they win. I'm glad they got there. The rest is gravy. But others...
But you would like to see them win. I think people mistakenly think somehow you're not a fan because you were speaking truth for us.
I was critical.
But you know why they think that? Because, Tony, you are too hard on the Caps fans. You are cruel to the Caps fans. I mean, you criticize their ardor, their fervor. And I want to say to myself, what do you want? Do you want a half-empty arena? Do you want an arena like in Susan O'Malley's day with visitors' jerseys?
Did you see the numbers on the game? Did you see the TV numbers on that game?
They were the best they've ever been. They're not great.
Better. Well, it was a 12-6 on NBCSN.
Which is very good.
Bigger than Caps. Bigger than the Celtics
Wizards game. There is a story in the paper today about the fervor, as you like to say, around the team.
Fervor.
And how in the old days... Which I don't really remember this. Ron Weber says something, which I don't think is true. Ron Weber says that the Caps are the equal in fandom to the Redskins and the Nationals and the Wizards. And I don't think that's true.
No, you can't say that.
I think he's wrong. Yeah. But there's this notion that the last time they were in the Stanley Cup, everybody there was wearing red, and it wasn't Capitals red, it was Detroit red. And that's probably true. But somebody said, oh, they were giving tickets away. They weren't giving tickets away. And now, you can't get a ticket for less than $900. Whoa, $900. Let me just say this, not as someone who has that kind of disposable income, but as someone who pays attention to sports tickets. Finals, things cost more than that. The Super Bowl costs more than that. The World Series costs more than that. The finals in the NBA will cost more than that. 900, stop. Okay, 900 is good for the finals. Hamilton costs more than that. Bruce Springsteen costs more than that. This may be a shock to the system of some people, but I think those fans, I think Capitals fans, are happy that it's that much money and knew it would be that much money. And it's not that much money.
That's not my point.
Oh, what's your point?
My point is, my point is that you are unfair to them for their enthusiasm for their team.
Then let me apologize to them.
Okay,
let
there
me
you
apologize
go.
To the Rock the Redders. And let me say that I, too, if I thought I looked good in red, would wear that shirt.
Yeah, that's not my color either.
Yeah, I don't look good in red. So if they ever become Rock the Dark Grayers,
yes,
I think that would be
better. Super Bowl face value tickets, $950 to $5,000, which is about the same as the aftermarket ticket for one of these games. Now, granted, there's not seven Super Bowls. There's one, and there could be seven finals games.
I'm saying
that. Yeah, that's a lot of money.
That's what you expect.
That's coming from a guy who $950 fell out of his pocket from the parking lot on the way to the show.
I'm just saying that's what tickets to
that is what it
cost in any city.
If you honk your
horn. It's not indicative of the fervor.
If you honk your horn,
I'm tired of the word fervor, by the way.
$950.
There's a lot of fervor over the use of that word.
And ardor and rigor.
Right.
You know? But I like Baker and Walker and Carter. Yes. I like the ER names now.
He's come around.
By the way, about the flag.
Porter.
So we talked about this yesterday because you given me the task and you said, call them up.
Well done, Nigel.
Well, I was like, I'm not going to call them up because they're going to yell at me. They're going to yell at me for everything
he
said. So I went ahead and ordered one on Amazon. So now we're going to have two flags.
Can I go back to the NBA game for one second?
You can do that, but you cannot attack me anymore.
Okay. I just want to say this, just from a sort of a sideline observation. If you are Justin Timberlake, you do not want to sit next to J.J. Watt.
Whoa, he's a big boy, J.J. Watt.
He's a big one.
He's a big boy.
You're never going to come out on the top of that one.
Has donated his own money.
Please don't let him get nailed in this whole Me Too thing. I so want to believe in J.J. Watt. Seems like such a good
All right, we'll take a break. Allegedly, Ann Hornaday will be with us when we return, but it doesn't look that way now.
Well, I think Metro is failing. She left.
Did Metro fire?
No, failed, not fire. She was leaving Shady Grove. She got to Shady Grove at about 40 minutes ago.
And what happened?
She'll be here momentarily.
She texted me 10 minutes later and said, it still hasn't moved, but she is on the way. She said, I'll be there shortly after 8, and we're shortly after 8 right now. So I have failed.
Not where you're... That's in real time for us.
Yes.
Not you. All right, I'm getting... I have no constraints there. It doesn't matter. So when we come back, maybe Ann Hornaday. If not, we'll just do news, and we'll wait for Ann Hornaday. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad, and it starts out with a personal endorsement, and it asks me to say, what do I love most about shaving with Harry's? And we go through this a lot. Love is too strong a word. As Tina Turner would say, what's love got to do with it? I mean, I like it. I do it on a regular basis, and I like it, and it's comfortable, and it's reliable, and that's what you want in a razor. Okay, I don't think you have to have ardor or fervor for a razor.
I certainly don't.
I don't think so.
Words.
Well done.
Harry stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors is not an easy decision, so they created a trial offer, which you can claim by going to harrys.com/TonyK. The founders of the company were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades with sharp, durable steel that lasts, and that's why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at $2 compared to $4 or more in any other place. There's a quality guarantee. If you don't love the shave, let Harry's know within 30 days. They'll give you a free refund. Here is the trial offer. You get a $13 value trial set. Comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. And listeners to this high-quality podcast can redeem their trial set at Harry's, HARRYS.com/TonyK. Make sure you go to Harry's.com/TonyK to redeem your offer and let them know that I sent. You don't have to do that. You know, honestly, you don't. Just get the blades, get the razor. If you like it, you'll keep shaving with it forever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from Luke and Ben and John and Charles, who write, with Memorial Day fast approaching, the boys of Crooked Coast would like to submit the following song entitled Cape Cod in the hopes that you find your way up here one day soon. I've never been to Cape Cod.
Oh, you've never been?
Never been.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it's lovely.
Once again this summer, we'll be playing weekly on Martha's Vineyard at the Ritz, and don't forget to join us every Friday at the Landfall in Falmouth for great music and a baked lobster that comes with potato, corn on the cob, and a Lipitor pill to diners 50 and older. Maybe even a Brian Polian sighting. Thanks again for playing our stuff on the podcast and opening up our music to a greater audience. Have a great summer. You've been to Cape Cod? I've never been.
I haven't. It's lovely. The water is extremely
cold.
Yeah.
It's cold, yeah.
I'll take the Bethany water any day.
All right. So Anne Hornaday is here. We're very happy she's here. I was saying in the beginning of the show that last night I watched till very late, Night and Day. Night and Day.
Oh, I know. It's our favorite.
It's just June. Wonderful.
June. It's just, stop saying my name.
It's just one of those, like, it's one of those under-the-radar guys.
Why doesn't he play that role
He's
all
great,
the time?
I know. It just doesn't make you appreciate him, though, as his range.
It's so good. And that and the one with Emily Blunt.
Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow.
You can't stop watching these movies. They're just
both
wonderful movies.
That were very underappreciated at the time, I might add.
All right, let's get to some things here. Solo, the Han Solo movie without... Is Harrison Ford in the movie?
No, Harrison Ford.
Is the Wookiee the same guy?
No, I think
is it the
he's
same?
Dead,
it's a different.
I believe,
it's
he?
A different Wookiee.
The Wookiee's there.
The original Chewbacca's
dead. But the bloke who plays Han Solo is a guy named Alden Ehrenreich, and you know him from "Twould That It Were So Simple."
Oh yeah, and Hail Caesar.
Yeah.
Twould that it.
And then it comes back and goes, it's complicated.
Twould that it were so simple.
This is a big movie, obviously. The Star Wars, we no longer have Star Wars. We have Star Wars and Star Wars spinoffs all the time.
Yeah.
Is it any good?
Well, Nige and I are going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I didn't find this one to be nearly as compelling as some of these. I don't know if they're like, what are they, sequels, prequels, threequels, equals, co-equals? I don't know.
Equals,
But this is an origin story. You know, it's plumbing back to all those little details that were sprinkled throughout the other,
Do
you know,
we
the original.
Well,
that's the question. Yeah. I think fans think they need it, they need it, they want it. It's definitely a fan service movie. I think there are lots of little buried treasures in it that make the fans happy. I think as a standalone movie though, I just didn't think it had. I mean, I think there are some pros to it and there are some cons to it. The pros are, I do think Alden Ehrenreich was very well cast. I think he's a really gifted young actor and he's got a lot of charisma. I love Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. I thought he was fantastic.
That's the Billy Dee Williams part
He just inhabits it beautifully. And then there's this there's a droid, a female droid that's voiced by this British writer and comedian named, not a comedian, writer and actress named Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And to me, she stole the show. She really injected a lot of life. Otherwise, it's kind of a by-the-numbers heist movie for me. I didn't find much originality or novelty or beauty.
It. No, I didn't love it.
But you bring your lightsaber to work.
I do. Typically, I dress up as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yeah, I would say for big fans of the Star Wars universe, and particularly Han Solo, go. You'll enjoy it. You just won't truly love it like you
want
to. Is
Harrison Ford in it even in a cameo?
No.
No, not at all. Because
aren't they? Isn't he in one of the Star Wars movies in a cameo?
Yeah, but then they, I don't know. Should we go there? Is this a spoiler if we talk about what happens?
I don't think we can talk.
I think there's still. Yeah, you didn't see what happened really happened.
Oh, right. So in other words, there's more?
There's always more of it. I think there's a way. Yeah. I think there's a workaround.
And that was a problem for me because it should have just been a standalone. Like Rogue One, just that's the movie.
Yeah.
That's
great.
I'm just going to tell you.
You don't know any of the
others. I know we're talking and he's just sitting
here. Star Wars movies anymore.
Exactly.
And which are family tree movies.
That's it. There's the saga. There's the saga movies.
I don't know.
Which continue the trilogy.
Yes.
And then there are the story movies.
And that's what
these are these little standalone like Rogue One.
This one sets up for a sequel, which I was not happy with.
Yeah.
You just wanted this one little origin story.
There's Godfather 1. 2 and 3.
And you're out.
Don't need.
In that
and you're out.
That's it.
Yeah.
There's not, you know.
It's the way it ought to be.
Yeah, there's
enough already.
There's not the origins of Luca Brasi. We don't have that.
Exactly.
Don't
that's
have
the thing.
That.
You know what? Why that's do people need that? I don't understand that. Yeah. And we were talking about that the other day. I don't understand this need to constantly just, you know, we want to know everything. It's just this, I think it's almost a reflection of our culture about Facebook. It's like, you can't leave anything in the past. Everything has to be more, more, more. We need to know more, more, more. It's like, can't we just leave something alone?
And is that part of the difference of opinion maybe with you guys? Is I know Nige being a big Star Wars geek, like you get sort of those nuggets of how he got the Millennium Falcon or when he meets
you see it acted out, but I mean, you already seen it in your mind. Like, do you really need it to be spelled out for you that much? I don't know. We'll see.
There's another movie called Chesil Beach.
On Chesil Beach.
On Chesil Beach. This is Saoirse. I think I pronounced that correctly.
Saoirse Ronan.
Saoirse Ronan. Who's been in two movies that I've seen and is spectacular.
Lady Bird and Brooklyn, right?
Yes, just spectacular. I don't know how long.
And this is, and her. I think it was her screen debut was in Atonement. Did you see Atonement?
I did not see that.
Oh. Which is the same author.
I don't think she can continue playing 17-year-olds.
No, she probably can leave that. But she's not a 17-year-old in this.
What
she's
is this?
She's a 20-year-old. Well, this is by the same author of Atonement, Ian McEwan. And it's a very... I love Ian McEwan. I'm a huge fan.
Too.
And I remember reading this novella. Did you read this book,
I did.
Jeannie? Because it is a strange book. And it's a strange book structurally because it's all about the wedding night of this British couple in the early 60s. But they're a 50s couple. It's about the turning of a tide and a culture. And they're very repressed. They don't know about sex. They're virgins. And it's this disastrous wedding night. And it's kind of played out in this minute, painful, excruciating detail for
it's
both
not funny.
Of them.
I was hoping for funny.
No, it's not funny at all. But he kind of front loads the story with that moment. And then he just zips us through what happens later, you know? And it's a weirdly structured
book. Do either
book.
Of them end up as Beatles?
I'm not even going to tell you, but I think, you know, we throw around the word irony a lot, meaning snark or you know,
that's
winking.
Not irony.
And this is irony because these are two people who are clearly they don't know what's coming in terms of the sexual revolution.
Right.
And that they don't have to worry so much about, you know, but they don't know this. They don't know what's to come. So
And that was true painful. Of Atonement, too.
Yes, exactly. It's about these kind of disastrous in the moment decisions and misundderstandings that
really
have these implications that they can
Atonement.
Never foresee.
Yeah.
You should see it.
I'll bring it in for you.
Okay.
It's
like
really
it.
Good.
Yeah.
She's exquisite.
There
She's
is a movie
great.
Here that apparently people like very, very much called First Reformed, which I assume refers to the First Reformed Church. Ethan Hawke is in it. Amanda Seyfried, do I pronounce that correctly?
Seyfried, I think.
Seyfried, yeah.
Who I have not liked in other movies,
really?
But, you know, I have. Okay. That's just me personally.
Yeah.
But this is good, right?
This is it, man. This is by Paul Schrader, who we know, right, is the master who wrote Raging Bull, Taxi Driver.
Yes.
He directed Affliction. Remember that Russell Banks novel?
Mm-hmm. I did not see that.
Oh, you got to see that with Nick Nolte.
These are two A movies I have to see, Affliction
so
and Atonement.
So many movies you need to see.
I thought I'd worked my way to the bees, but
instead of watching yeah, Night right, Day go back, for the fourth back. Time.
No, it's a great movie.
But no, this is, you know, and Schrader, God bless him, man, he has been in this business for 40 years, and he keeps pitching. And sometimes it doesn't hit. He did a really strange Netflix movie with Lindsay Lohan a few years ago that I think proved what a great actress Lindsay Lohan really is, but it was kind of, the movie didn't work. He collaborated with Bret Easton Ellis, and it was just very, so I mean, he can hit and miss, but this is a movie he was put on this planet to make.
Ooh.
It's about a man in spiritual crisis, played by this, in a great performance by Hawke, who I think has been doing superior work in recent years anyway. But you know, it is very Taxi Driver-esque. It's about this lone guy fighting with God, fighting with his own identity in a spiritual crisis and wondering what to do. This is, in this case, it's set in the present day, so it's really informed by this anxiety around the environment and what we're doing to the world. But and it has these dashes of lurid violence like Taxi Driver had, but Schrader is just at the top of his game.
But not comic book violence, not stupid violence.
Not at all. It's shocking. It's shocking violence.
Not just heads blown up just for the sake of blowing up heads.
No, I don't want to get anything away. Heads will blow off, but they're not for the sake of lurid thrills.
Right.
It is all grounded in this examination of hypocrisy and moral responsibility. And he does, Schrader's so interesting because he's got this kind of contemplative tradition that he's working in, like Bresson and all these guys. But then he's also just a sex and violence guy. He likes that stuff. You know, he didn't grow up on it because he wasn't allowed to watch movies as a kid. But
he wasn't allowed to.
No, he grew up a Calvinist in Michigan. I actually made a mistake on the podcast yesterday. I said Illinois. He grew up in Michigan. He was not allowed to watch movies growing up. So he came to them late in life. He was a protege of Pauline Kael.
Right.
So
right.
He has this intellectual point of view, but then he's also got this visceral love for the stuff of kind of the most lurid, which we see in Raging Bull and Taxi Driver. I mean, you can see these competing impulses.
These are great movies.
Great movies, yes. And I think this belongs up there with them. I mean, this is really his greatest movie in decades. And I, you know, he was here last week showing it at the National Archives, and I congratulated him on it, and he said, you know, I hope this isn't my last movie, but he said if it is, it's a good last movie to go out on because it's the summa of his career.
First Reformed,
baby. Okay. And Ethan Hawke again. He's,
and no,
it's a
no,
real collaboration between a director and an actor.
There's no Wookiee in it. Yeah. There's no Wookiee.
As far as I could see, unless there was like a little Easter egg planted in the, no Wookiee. Just a really weird eye lamp.
Do you know, I don't know if you know the gentleman to your right, Bill Isaacson.
Well, hello.
Bill Isaacson was Gary Shandling's dear, dear friend and executor.
Oh,
and
bless you.
And have you seen the
oh, I loved it. I loved it. Too. It was so moving. It was just brilliant. Well done. Well done all.
So yeah. I wanted you to have that opportunity because I was going
to
ask you
thank you. I'm glad to be able to meet you. And thank you for your service and your stewardship. Seriously.
There's another documentary that you have seen, Saving...
Yeah, Saving Brinton.
Brinton. Not Saving, Britain.
Not Britain, because that was last
Britain.
Year. That was the theme last year. This is Britain with an N in the middle, and it was a real audience favorite at AFI.
Does it have
Docs.
Either a Wookiee or
no
Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
No Wookiees and no heads being blown off.
How about Ruth Bader Ginsburg? You see him?
No, but it's got a great protagonist, this guy in a little tiny town in eastern Iowa,
Mrs.
who's
Faldo's
a he's a collector
yeah.
and a film fan, and he is given this collection of really old materials. Some of them are film, some of them are these kind of magic lantern shows that this couple from Iowa used to show at the turn of the century in the 20s. Oh. They were like traveling, you know, impresarios. And he's been sitting on this cache of treasures and loving them, but not really feeling that anybody appreciates what he has. And finally, this film kind of documents how people discover it. And he ends up coming out here to the Library of Congress in Culpeper, that beautiful preservation facility. And it turns out he's sitting on a very rare Georges Méliès film. Méliès, the guy that was the featured guy in Hugo, the Martin Scorsese movie. But anyway, this is a film for film fans. It's a real homage to the Midwest and to Heartland values and to sort of somebody going out into the world and bringing the world back. And it's very moving. It's at the AFI Silver.
And what are you doing today? You're leaving here now.
Yeah, I got to go talk about Star Wars, little movie.
There you go.
down at Channel 9 for their great, what's it called? Great Day Washington. It's my first, my debut.
Sure. Oh, all right, nice. Go ahead, get out.
And I brought my own makeup.
Nice job out of you. If you go,
you should negotiate for the glamorous makeup.
Film critic.
If you're going to Channel 9, they will have hair and makeup.
No, I asked. I always ask.
They don't have hair and makeup.
I asked Nigel when I started doing this gig. Channel am I going to have hair and makeup?
How cheap is this? By the way, what about Reese Waters? What is his deal?
He still hasn't gotten back to me about coming on the show.
Reese Waters.
I'll circle back.
It's an invitation. Reese,
come on.
I mean, you want to stiff us? Go ahead. But at least let's get a little progress. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thanks, Aaron. Good luck.
Very, very good.
You'll be great.
How could you not have hair and makeup?
That seems...
At a television studio.
Not that you...
Next thing you know, she's going to tell us they're not paying her.
Yeah.
Goodbye, Ann.
Bye. News when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Hold on. I've got cut left foot.
What happened
here? There we go.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Blue Apron read. Blue Apron is offering listeners this high-quality podcast. Their first three meals free. When it comes to dinner, let Blue Apron take care of the planning and shopping while you do the cooking and the eating. You'll enjoy delicious meals like popcorn chicken with sweet chili cabbage slaw and cumin-spiced wonton noodles with vegetables and peanuts on the table in 30 minutes or less. With incredible ingredients and chef-designed recipes, Blue Apron lets you see what the power of food can do. Not about Blue Apron necessarily, but Gary is a cook, and Jeannie is a cook, and Michael is a cook. And when you are around people like that, when they're cooking, they seem very happy.
Yeah.
And I love to cook.
You know, what?
I love to cook.
Yeah. And now you can do that too. I mean, you're not going to be as good as them. I like they're, you know what? They're better than you.
But Blue Apron makes it
easy.
But
you can do this, and you can have that experience of taking food, making food, sitting around and eating the food, and it's good. It's actually good. And that's a far different experience, I'm sorry, than stopping at a fast food place and picking up a hamburger, which is good too.
Or a fast
but it's different.
Casual salad.
Yeah, fast casual salad.
Fast what casual is Blue salad. Talking yeah. about? Blue Apron delivers fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes right to your door that can be cooked in under 45 minutes. The menu changes every week based on what's in season and is designed by Blue Apron's in-house culinary team. Blue Apron offers 12 new recipes each week. Customers can pick 2, 3, or 4 recipes based on what fits their schedule. Blue Apron sends only non-GMO ingredients and meat with no added hormones. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free at blueapron.com/TonyK. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. And believe me when I tell you, that shared experience of cooking is fun. It's actually fun. You know, you go home and you take the food out of the bag that you ordered and you stand by the sink. That's okay. But it's better. This is actually better.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes from David Pickering, who writes, I'm sending the song Not Gentle on My Mind. The second cut, Gentle on My Mind is a Glen Campbell song. This is Not Gentle on My Mind. The second cut from our debut album, For Educational Purposes Only. This was written by our friend and house philosopher, Dr. Rob Lieb. We are Chuck Darwin and the Knuckle Draggers, a multi-generational, multi-ethnic acoustic band of no particular genre, who hail from numerous small Pennsylvania communities. We are Ben Wenk, who plays guitar and mandolin and sings lead, Billy Jones playing harp and hand percussion, Jared Wennard providing the rock-solid bass lines and backup vocals, and Dave Pickering on banjo and the National Steel guitar. The album title stems from a recording session which took place at the studios of the Academy for Music Production in McSherrytown, Pennsylvania, under the watchful eye of Professor Paul Ciacciarini. I'm sorry I brutalized that.
Paulie.
It's very, very nice. Michael, if people like Chuck Darwin and the Knuckle Dragon want to send their original music in, how do they do so?
Send your music to us by emailing it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And we're not selling anything till after the Memorial Day weekend?
Correct. We're going to have a new deal with Johnny O that'll start after Memorial Day for Father's Day, and there's going to be a prize component to that as well, where you can share some photos and try and win a monogrammed gift pack from Johnny O.
But to clarify, the shop is open.
Yeah, the shop's always open, and we will have the new summer items. Rob Culpian is hard at work on those right now.
Wait, Father's Day is sneaking up on us.
Yeah, it always sneaks up every
Memorial
year.
Day totally snuck up on me.
Did we decide to go forward?
Mother's Day's coming.
We're selling beach houses on the website. Are we going to do that or no?
Oh, yes.
Oh, very good.
Do you have some news?
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. We'll start off with baseball. There's been a lot of rumors and whispering, and the edges, the home runs are up because the ball was juiced.
Yes. So
there's been some studies on this. with actual scientists and data specialists formed by Commissioner Rob Manfred. And he said, now listen, the ball, there was nothing that was juice to the ball, but there was something that has changed the aerodynamic properties of it to increase its lift.
Climate change. Atmosphere is less dense.
Well, wait, wait.
If you believe so, that sort of stuff.
Okay. No one thinks that little gnomes sit in the baseball factory and lick it or put stuff on it.
They don't?
But if aerodynamically something has changed, it would seem to me that might be the stitching.
They check the stitching.
The baseballs are different and flying out of the ballpark.
So you don't believe the scientists?
What do the scientists say?
That there's nothing and the noticeably different.
So
in the
scientists
ball.
Say it's inexplicable why this
yes.
is happening.
Yes.
Something has changed the aerodynamic.
Get new scientists.
Maybe it's the material. Maybe it's the material.
Say, nothing yes. has changed on the ball.
They say the great mystery is what in the world has happened that we've had a small change in drag. It isn't large, but one that seems enough to this affecting offense.
Maybe it is atmospheric.
We've done that every jokingly, test you can imagine. We just couldn't nail it down. It's in there. It's in the data someplace, but it's going to take a lot more time and effort to solve.
And in the meantime, everybody will hit 100 home runs apiece.
Right.
You know.
Are there now like microchips or something in the ball that, you know, they have the speed and the exit velocity?
The weight is the same. The stitching is the same. The hide is the same.
Yes, and it's
the
not
interior
even,
is the same.
It's not even like the hitters are changing their attack angle, though that is an easy on TV explanation for why there are more home runs. It's not enough.
Hmm. I mean,
there have been times in baseball
I don't understand.
In certain
Maybe
years where they have wound it tight or something like that to increase the probability that
and
it
now
fly
they want
juicing more. Maybe
it feels like it's juice to me.
Yes. Now they want teams to monitor the conditions under which they store the baseballs, like the humidor in Arizona.
Yeah. They want that to be all the same.
Yes,
humidor. And it should be all
Deflate
the same.
Gate.
And this is. That's exactly what happened with Deflategate, and now that will not happen again until Belichick finds another way to cheat.
Right.
Just fine.
Right. No. I know you wanted to talk about Wayne Rooney, my countryman.
What's the deal?
Who's leaving town today.
Well, is he
Wait
not,
a minute.
Is he signing with the soccer team here
well,
or
he,
not?
He arrived on Wednesday after a family vacation in Barbados, which was lovely. He wrote me and said,
no,
hey,
great
had
to
a fantastic time.
Couldn't wait to get to D.C.
Yeah, and it really couldn't. Yeah, just like Matt Williams. Can't wait. And he's just been touring around, saw the field, seeing the sights. I think he wanted to come by and see PTI, but he couldn't squeeze that in.
Yeah.
And now he's going back home. And they expect that negotiations will continue, and they feel good that soon, sometime in the near future.
Well, when does it open?
When does the season end?
I assume they're waiting for the Caps. They want a front page story. I assume they're waiting for a lull in the sports scene to announce this because they don't open that new stadium till mid-July. Mid-July. And that's
sure.
what he's here for.
Mm-hmm.
He's here to sell seats
yep.
in the mm-hmm. soccer stadium, mm-hmm. which, by the way, is
and
visible
he will do,
from the
That's what
stadium.
He will do, by the way.
There's also, he would not be eligible to play until the MLS transfer in trade window, which opens up July 10th.
Okay.
So that's right. probably one of the reasons
Thank
why
you
they're
for
not
catching
rushing.
Us up.
Yes.
What else?
Staying with soccer. I know you're very excited to talk about this. Ronaldinho.
This is a fabulous story.
All right, so this is a story that came out that Ronaldinho was
He's a Brazilian soccer player of consequence.
Yeah, like one of the best in the world.
Well, I guess
if you're a Brazilian soccer star,
guess, yes.
you inherently are.
Yeah.
Ronaldinho was apparently, according to some reports, going to marry not one, but two women.
Two.
Yes. This is a report that came out. I'm trying to see exactly
On the
who
same
broke
day,
it.
In the same ceremony, his two live-in girlfriends.
You can do that in Brazil?
In Utah, you can do it, I think.
Polygamy
on
is...
On HBO, you can do it.
Yes, you certainly can. Polygamy is outlawed in Brazil. I've done some research on this.
Oh, even for soccer players?
Even for superstar soccer players.
But I just wonder, how does the ceremony go? Where they say richer for poorer, he goes, her, not her.
Yeah.
Or do you take these women? Do you take these women?
Now, he has told Sport TV that this is a huge lie. He's like, no. But apparently he is living with both of these women, so now that...
It's a Charlie Sheen situation.
Yeah,
so I think they're just suspecting that maybe he'll just continue to live with both of these women.
I don't care who he lives with, but I would like to see that ceremony. I'm just curious about how that could be legal in any country.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I-66, how's that toll working out for everyone? $47.25. Was just yesterday
how do they
for
do
solo
that? How does that work?
So this is one of those tolls that is adjusted based on the amount of time savings it will give you versus the alternative.
And time of day.
How many miles are you going on that?
They try to manage how much traffic is on it.
Right.
Because they want to ensure that it moves as quickly as possible. So if too many people...
Well, you can charge $3,000 and there'll be one car on it all the time.
Exactly. So you understand the premise.
But then you've built a road that isn't being used enough.
True. But if enough people are paying... If they're having to charge $40 to keep people off of it, I guess they're right.
But isn't the purpose of building a road to have vehicular traffic on it?
I have been in traffic I would pay $46 to get out of.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
Every day?
Maybe not every day. Maybe you don't have to pay $46 every day. Pay $46.
Yeah, these same people will happily pay $900 for a cab's ticket.
And just for people who aren't familiar with this road or how it works, sometimes you get on it and it's $2.95.
Right.
I mean, so the toll is always moving.
Well,
they're managing the amount of cars and traffic that are on there to ensure it moves.
And the time of day.
So if everyone is willing to pay $8, they say, well, that's too little. We have to charge more because we got to get some people off this road. Yeah, they want traffic.
Is that road ever backed up? Is that road ever clogged?
66?
Yes.
The toll lanes of it. I think it can get that way,
Okay.
I mean, I know 66 I'm not on it. Is a nightmare.
But let me say this.
If you ever have to travel west,
I don't
you
think
take my way,
I don't
that's
think
the highway,
40,
that's the best.
I don't think at $46 it's jammed up.
Right, I wouldn't think.
But maybe it is at $10.50.
I think Wilbon and I might be on it, but I don't know anybody else.
The officials always make comments like, oh, yeah, we'll look into this. It does seem a bit high. We'll try work. And then, like, 6 months later, it's $150.
It's higher.
Yeah, but you know what? People pay extraordinary amounts to Uber drivers. I mean, to be in your own car.
That seems a bit of a burden. If you're driving in and you're commuting, you've got to pay $90 a day.
So stay on the road with the littles and wait in traffic.
Leave early, I guess. Wake up early.
But again, my position would be you created and built with public funding an actual new road.
I'm not sure about that last part.
Yeah,
I think it's privately owned. Yeah. I mean, I have to check.
The Chinese probably own it at this point.
Some guy just did it?
I think like Transurban owns it.
Like just some guy did it, built the road, bought the land, built the road?
No, multinationals. I know there's like an Australian company that owned one. There's Chinese companies that own a bunch of them. Yeah, I don't know about this one specifically. I'll research that when we go to break.
All right. What else? Do we have the best story of the day?
Stormy Daniels?
This is the best story of the day.
Have yourself a day, Miss Daniels. I guess this was yesterday. The people of West Hollywood, it was declared...
This is an actual city.
Yeah.
West Hollywood, California, because that's where Craig's is. You know, it's in West Hollywood.
Right. I'm sorry. It was Wednesday. It was declared Stormy Daniels Day. The city government gave her a...
Are you kidding me?
In these politically tumultuous times...
An elected mayor gave Stormy Daniels the key to the city in a ceremony that appears to have been serious.
Yes. Yeah. And what a winning smile. I'm looking at the picture that she has right there. That's fantastic. It said, in these politically tumultuous times, Stormy Daniels has proven herself to be a profile in courage by speaking truth to power, even under threats to her safety and extreme intimidation from the current administration.
What do you think of this?
It's
We've
West,
gone too far
it's
with
West
this.
West Hollywood, California.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bridge too far.
It is a bridge too far.
Come on.
But it's West Hollywood, California.
This is an elected mayor.
It's true.
Come on. Without impugning Stormy Daniels in any way. No, not the key to a real... No, stop. What
publicity grab for the city. I mean, I
You're not offended? I'm actually offended by this.
She's a perfectly pleasant person. I'm not excited. I just throw my hands up. It doesn't move the needle for me,
frankly. Seems a bit much. By the way, this was the statement sent out by the West Hollywood government. That other statement I read you, but they said...
Not the actual government, not the government in exile in West Hollywood.
Right.
The actual government.
Yeah, the Bourbons. Yeah. Today at 4 p.m., I just love this, in front of Chi-Chi LaRue's, we'll be presenting the city proclamation.
Chi-Chi LaRue's is a sex toy store, if I read this correctly. I mean, this is...
It's absurd. No, I know. It's ridiculous. Come on.
What are we even doing out here? John Oliver can do this bit.
Yes.
But this is
exactly what John Oliver does.
And should.
Yeah,
and should, because he's brilliant. But that... Am I wrong on this one?
How about Chatter having
Stormy Daniels?
Stormy Daniels.
Oh, that's fine. We can give her the key.
You put the flag out there, and then you give Stormy Daniels.
I'd happily have Stormy, but I would not expect Muriel Bowser to
sign off on that.
Give her the key.
It's a bit much.
I would not.
And you know, today is Friday.
Friday. So we have Florida Man Friday.
So yes, we want to share with you a Florida Man Friday story. We'll take you to Vero Beach, where
used to be the home of the Dodgers.
That's right, for a long time. Joe Henry Babcock, age 43, was clearly having a bit of a day. The Chili's Bar and Grill in Vero Beach, he was seen yelling at people and challenging...
Shirt or no shirt?
Shoes? Pants?
I think he was fully clothed.
Okay, really? Go ahead. He's confronting people.
Challenging them to a fight last Saturday night at Chili's Grill and Bar in Vero Beach. Let's see. He was seen running up to people and trying to fight with them. When one of the deputies asked him his name, he replied, "My name is F. U. Cracker."
Well, that might be his name. He might have changed it. Look, there's somebody named Meta World Peace.
That's true.
Who wanted to be Whole Foods guacamole dip.
That's right, he did. Two witnesses said Babcock began yelling at people at Chili's, challenging them to a fight in the parking lot. One witness said he ran up to several vehicles and struck them multiple times with his fist. Each vehicle he approached sped away. He bowled his fist, bladed his body, and positioned his feet in a manner consistent with someone that was going to throw a punch.
It reminds me of the Woody Allen movie with the Marshall McLuhan scene. The cop should say, "Well, we happen to have Tom Wilson in the car here. Yeah. You want to fight? Yeah, here we go."
That's a dangerous person.
He became increasingly aggressive, and they said he had difficulty maintaining his balance and had slurred speech. When he advanced towards another deputy, his hands curled into fists, the deputy said, "Stay away and do not touch him." That's when Babcock knelt down on one knee with his hands in a prayer position and yelled, "I'm sorry." Deputies then tried to take him.
Then they tased him.
Then they tried to detain him for questioning. I'm not sure what they wanted to ask him about, but he resisted. There was a bit of a scuffle at that point.
And then
he was arrested, charged with disorderly intoxication and resisting.
And by the way, and he should have been.
Yeah.
Not tased or beaten up.
No, it does not say.
Okay, so although, Caucasian,
on the picture, there is a big cut on his upper cheek. So, but he appears content. I'll show the picture for here for News Channel 8.
Oh, pretty happy.
Yeah.
That's a
little scrape.
By the way, that sort of stuff does not happen outside of chatter. I just want to point that out.
Correct.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio. Mike Freeman will join us.
Yes.
We're going to let him launch into the NFL anthem policy when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Old Guy Radio for the day of the Beach Boys. This is Do It Again, and it'll start out with the words, "It's Automatic." Mike Love will be singing this. Why are we playing this? Just because it's summer, right?
It's Memorial Day weekend. It's the
start of the summer.
Yes.
Not technically, but in everybody's mind. Just like the start of the spring is the Masters. We missed the start of the spring. We had no spring.
We didn't really have spring.
We had rain.
Mike Love said, "I came back from a surfing trip with some high school buddies and said, 'Hey, Brian, I just went to the beach and the waves and the girls were great. We've got to do a song called Do It Again.'" And then like ten seconds later,
there was this song. Mike Love, for people that don't know, the uncle of Kevin Love on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Brother of Stan Love, who was himself a first-round draft pick in Washington, D.C. Well, at the time was Baltimore. I think they were the Baltimore Bulls. Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report is the one person we want on today to talk about the NFL new anthem policy, which is not getting rave reviews from just about anyone. So I have a series of questions, relatively serious questions, and Freeman is just going to launch on this at some point. But the first three questions are sort of this. How did the NFL arrive at the anthem policy? Was there much dissent, and who led the charge on this? That's all of one piece. Just give us how they got here on this thing.
So, great questions. I would begin with the dissent part. There are owners that dissented. But first of all, they didn't really take an official vote.
Right.
They did like a practice vote and saw that it was going to pass, and then were like, "Okay, it passes." And they didn't really do a hardcore vote. And the 49ers abstained, and the Jets are dead set against it. And
right.
The owner of the Jets is saying he's going to pay any fines that his players may accumulate. And how it started, Tony, it gets very complicated, but part of it is a very simple thing. A lot of the owners are just terrified of Donald Trump. And a lot of the owners agree with the fact that players should stand for the anthem. Those two things were really the driving force of this. But I think I've been told this repeatedly for the past year plus, that there's just a great fear that Donald Trump can, A, drive viewers away from games and away from watching the sport, and drive down the price of teams, the price of teams. There's never been any value. Yes, there's never been any proof of either of these things, but the owners are terrified of it. This was always the driving hardcore force of this was the president and the fear of the president and the fear of what he will do to their business. So
that's
where it all started.
If I owned a team, I wouldn't want this either. I would want people either standing or not out. I wouldn't want this controversy. If I owned a team in any sport, I would want this to go away, and I would do my best to make it go away. But I believe I would try to negotiate with the players. Why don't they reach out to Demoris Smith and say, we're going to get in a room. You're going to get 50, 60% of what you want. You're going to get things we never gave you before, but you have to make this go away for us. Why wouldn't they do that?
That is a great point and the point. A lot of people point to how the NBA has a policy that you must stand for the anthem.
Which only works because LeBron James is willing to make it work.
And that ownership and that league sees, to the point of your question, sees the players as true partners.
Yes.
And to answer your question, the NFL doesn't see players as true partners. The NBA rule was effectively collectively bargained. It was effectively they sat down. They did exactly as you described. They sat down with the players and said, this is what we want to do, and the players decided to go with it.
Well, they said because they said, how much money do you want? And that's what happened.
Yes, and also look at the that league, what Steve Kerr says, what Popovich says, what LeBron says, what a lot of those players, the way the league embraces them speaking out, embraces them talking about social justice issues, and the NFL shuns the players. They look at players as the product, not as partners. And that answers your question. Why didn't they go to the – it would have been a much simpler thing to do, and now it's going to end up as a – they just screwed it all up by not doing that. Now, if you feel the way you do, which is a completely fair point that this is a mess and just try to avoid it, that's a completely fair point, but you don't – you made everything worse.
Yes.
I mean, they made everything 10 times worse than it was before.
By the way, and I've tried to say this on television and here too, this fundamentally misses the point of protest. People who like to protest and want to protest are not going to sit in the locker room while the anthem is being played.
It's about making it
more
known.
More people, Mike, are going to be on the field doing this than ever before. This is so stupid. I don't understand for a second how anybody who was an owner could think that this was going to work. Don't you anticipate more resistance?
I definitely do, and you sort of addressed your own point there about why an owner wouldn't get it. Like they just don't get their players. They don't get what's happening within communities in America. How outraged some communities are over policing, over mass incarceration. These are issues that affect a lot of those players, and they want to address them. And the owners just don't get that. They don't understand it. They don't, and I think a large swath of them don't care. Not all. The Eagles owner is a very, very good owner who is loved by his players and gets it. There's other owners, but most of them just don't care. And that goes back to the other point of why they didn't talk to the players, why they didn't address the players.
Well, they made all those wrong-headed decisions about Ray Rice without any women at the table. And now they're making these wrong-headed decisions about protests without the players at the table.
It's within 24 hours of the announcement of this new policy, you have the release of the Sterling Brown video in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And all you have to do, if you have a brain in your head, if you're Roger Goodell, you take that video, you sit the owners down, and you say, this is what they're talking about. This thing. Why don't we understand? You know what I mean, Mike? What? How could you not? How could you not get the temperature in the room?
It's a really great point, and one that Goodell, I think Roger Goodell has failed in a lot of things as commissioner, and this will be one of the bigger failures. Just not being able to corral these owners into seeing what the players are talking about and why they're doing this. The players aren't doing this because they disrespect the country. It's never been about that. It's never been about disrespecting the military. It's never been about that. It's about drawing attention to an issue that is a serious issue to a lot of people. So the NFL has never been able to sort of translate that to fans, which is interesting because the NFL always, you know this, Tony, whenever the NFL feels it's under attack or it's being misrepresented or wants to get its point across, it always does. It will spend millions of money, the league will, to talk about things that they think should be promoted or are unfair to them. They always seem to somehow make the point and defend themselves. But on this, they just completely, the gap between A and B, they don't get it. They could easily run a long campaign with players, with owners, with others, explaining to fans why they're doing this.
Of course they could. And they could. It would be produced brilliantly, and everybody would understand it. Freeman and I disagree on Colin Kaepernick. I mean, we are on opposite sides of the fence on Colin Kaepernick. Not that he's been blackballed, because he's been blackballed, but I mean, I think that's okay. I think if you protest, I think there are consequences for protest, and if somebody doesn't want to employ you, the shame for Colin Kaepernick is there's not another football league, you know, because there's only this one. But in this, so I don't think it's unfair what happens. I think it's unwise, but I'm not sure that it's unfair. But aren't we going to see many more players in that position now? Isn't this just terrible for other players?
Well, one of the things that will give you an answer to that question was when the president called the players SOBs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they went understandably bonkers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I think this policy is driving players the same bonkers. It's going to cause players to be very – it already is. It's causing them to be angry. Doug Baldwin yesterday, the Seahawks, called Trump an idiot. And you're going to see all those type of reactions. There are going to be some very, very strong reactions. And there's going to be fines and fights in court. It's going to get very, very ugly. They completely mishandled this from start to beginning.
That's what I think. On a much lighter note, how's your boy Andrew Luck, who hasn't thrown a football in over a year? What is the deal with that guy?
He's going to, I mean, they keep saying he's going to be fine.
Yeah, when?
2080? I'll believe it when I see it. He hasn't thrown in well over a year, and we haven't seen him play in a long time. My position has always been I'm 50-50, and if we ever see him really play again, but they keep saying he's going to be okay. And but it's, you know, it's, we got time. It's late May, so he could be ready for camp, but we haven't seen any proof that he's going to be. It's going to be interesting to watch.
And one other question. Is this significant, what's happening in New England? Do you see this as really a breach in New England between Brady and Belichick?
There have been tensions there, Tony, for a little while over Brady's trainer, over the environment that there are just some players like Gronk who just think that Belichick needs to loosen up. There's some issues with how Malcolm Butler was treated in the Super Bowl. There are issues there, but it's not going to lead to anything potentially catastrophic, I don't think. But remember, I came on your show and I said I'd be surprised what happened with Tom Brady. This didn't have if he was gone,
right?
Which was crazy and stupid.
But we're all entitled.
It was, but I mean, there are issues there, Tony. There's issues there. Will it lead to Tom Brady not playing the season? No, he's going to play. But I think a lot of this is Brady's just sort of has a new lease on life, a new perspective, and is not going to let Belichick sort of dictate everything. Brady knows he has a lot of power, and I think you're seeing him exercise some of that power.
Thank you, Freeman. Talk to you soon.
All right, Tony. Thank you.
Mike Freeman. Love having him on. Love having him on. We'll take a break. We will come back. We will have a jingle. We will have some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. I kind of recognize that voice. The bitterness is familiar, yet I can't seem to place it. Cannot make out what he's trying to say, just mumbles and names. Tried sea and cocktail forks, what's that mean? A young man walks up and waves. Hey dad, it's me, he says. But the old guy just cools and stares. The brows about he lays.
This is the end of my line.
The brows about he lays.
Patrick Moffat.
Love that.
Patrick Moffat. The brows about jingle so great. For the song.
Elderly woman behind the counter.
Let me thank Washington Post movie critic Ann Hornaday. Let me thank Mike Freeman of Bleacher Report for being on the show today. Thank our sponsors today, Blue Apron and Harry's Razors. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Baby Bootsy is in the house.
Yeah, Bootsy!
He's very happy. That's Look how time. Happy he is. Nigel had quick announcements.
Yes, Mark Hatcher from the band Leftist sent us in a song, wanted us to play today, but he sent it in late last night. Oh. They have a gig coming up on Monday at Kennedy Center's Millennium Stage this Memorial Day. So great. Check them out, Leftist. We'll play them on the show on Tuesday. And today in history, 50 years ago today, the Gateway Arch was dedicated
Love
in
the
St.
Gateway.
Louis.
By
the way, 20 years ago today, Phil Hartman.
Oh, yeah.
His wife. Remember
is that right?
And if you want to hear some of these jingles live, June 23rd at Jam in Java, a great venue. And they have tickets online at the official website. How cool is that?
Jingle Fest.
June 23rd.
Ted I will be in there. Richmond. I'm sorry I cursed your name when you declared the Caps Stanley Cup favorites after two wins in Tampa. Maybe not the bandwagon, but you could issue a call to arms for a Rock the Red minivan. Mike in Burke, Virginia. As you know, you are the bandwagoner of all bandwagoners, the man who actually rode, not drove, an RV to Minnesota for the maroon and black. Given the amount of venom you've spewed at the Caps over the years, however, this is one bandwagon you should probably stay clear of. My informal poll of Caps fans regarding your support indicates they're torn between nah, no way, and that old man can unspeakably awful thing himself. What are this weekend's specials at Chatter? Well, we've gone through that already, Mike, but thank you. Ruffin Bailey in Charleston, South Carolina. At first, I thought $206 for a distracted driving ticket didn't seem that high, especially for someone who bought the house next to him just to overpay for natural gas, and grow tomatoes in the yard. Then it hit me. That's more than enough to fix 10 car engines and get the drivers from D.C. to Baltimore. Stay grumpy, mis amigos. From Sylvester Bush, who says, "Bonjour, Dr. O'Neider," which I like. A recording artist recently wrote a new song with a couple of lyrics about intergenerational differences. He expressed mistrust of millennial trends by saying, "New brothers are the reasons I stopped drinking Dos Equis." Essentially saying that the new Keep It Interesante, Mis Amigos campaign and the guy doing it are trash. That songwriter named Sean Carter also goes by a little name we like to call Jay-Z. And that, my friends, is affirmation. So Jay-Z and I are on the same side of the street.
Well, there you
we
go.
We don't like this campaign.
Yeah.
We don't like this campaign. From David H. Sagador, this is your neighbor at the beach. Oh, yes. Okay. My neighbor David. Right. I heard about Carol's Bluetooth car issue. My daughter, Sammy, she's CC on the email, will be at the beach this afternoon and will be more than happy to help Carol hook up the phone to her car. Little's helping Tony. No need for another ticket. Sammy, you can either ask Carol or wait to have Carol reach out to you.
Knock on the front door.
Yeah, just knock on the door. This is from Brian Conrady in South Bend, Indiana. Listening to Wednesday's show made me think just how much better off this country would be if Tory and Jeannie were in charge. So how about it? A Tory-Jeannie presidential run in 2020. Doesn't really matter who's at the top of the ticket, does it? Assuming victory, some early thoughts from other roles in the administration. Chief of Staff, Fineman, Press Secretary Saliza, Supreme Court nominees, me and Wilbon, Ambassador to the UK, Nigel, Secretary of Education, Michael, Secretary of State, Leon, FCC Commissioner, Gary Braun, Poet Laureate, Liz, Secretary of the Interior, Luke, the woodsman himself, and head speechwriter, David Aldridge. Chief in Somerville, Massachusetts, are there any food specials at Chatter in honor of the Capitals? because nothing says Stanley Cup playoffs like a fast, casual salad. Gene, had you ever heard that term before?
I never have.
Yeah. I have.
You had?
Yeah,
fast casual.
I never heard anything like that. From Nick DePaul. Nick DePaul here writing in with a birthday shout-out to my dad, Stephen DePaul. I won't divulge his age, but suffice to say, he's intimately familiar with Old Guy Radio. We've been listening to your show, starting on radio syndication, since I was a young child carpooling to elementary school in Los Angeles, and still text each other nearly daily to celebrate your certain style of genius and the escapades of your amazing crew. My dad made it to Chatter earlier this year, brought me back swag, a shirt from a plumbing company in Cleveland, because nothing says the TK show like random XL shirts I'll never wear but will cherish. What have we become? John Rathbone, the show is becoming a Chatter commercial and the guests are getting stale. Show needs a revamp. Okay, he's stopping listening. Sorry, we lost you. Mark Waterston, Patterson, Pasadena, California. I'm rooting hard for the Rockets for one reason. So I can continue to hear Mr. Tony pronounce Houston, Houston, seven times a day. Do I pronounce it incorrectly? Am I wrong?
You say Houston, right?
Houston.
Well, Houston?
I don't know what it is.
Houston, maybe?
So Houston's in New York City. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
there are times when I'm not gentle on your mind. Times that you might have thought I'd walk the path that I am free to walk. Afraid I might be drawn along that insane line one draws upon, by a couch with someone who would never let you go. Afraid you'll turn around and find that you're the other woman crying. Walking lonely and had to find so patiently and wait there in parentheses. I don't think that you could stand to be so far apart, even drinking from the tin can in the train yard of your restless heart. In the past you wandered tracks in high heels and the dirty hats, but at my door, my dear, you'll find the bind that hugs both will not bind. Find one with whom you share your soup, if not your spoon.